I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Miami. Who doesn't eat churraco? If you don't eat churraco, that means you're a vegetarian.
This is capitalism, bro, where the winners win.
What's your podcast?
The Coach HP Show.
I love it. Coach HP.
HP,
I like
what a vibe. You got a great vibe going on. We're happy we can meet
you. Great energy.
Three, two, one, boom. What's up, everybody? It's your coach. Welcome back to the number one positivity podcast in the internet right now. We were talking about Miami. I got Miami guys here. Big pro Miami guys. John, is it Jonathan or John?
It's anything.
Is it?
Jonathan, I'm back to being Jonathan because for my baseball career, I was John. So now I joke around my boys. I'm like, hey, Jonathan's back.
Who made it John?
I think it was Coach Weber at Columbus.
Really?
I think he kind of like made it where it was John Jay. Like it was almost like my name is hyphenated. So that was, I think he's the one that really got that going.
And that was the move. And then we have the meat guy of meat guys here, my man Josh. Josh, straight back from Colombia. How was that, bro?
Dude, Colombia is a special place. Happy to be home, safe, in one piece. So, but I'm ready to go back even harder.
That. You guys, mutual Columbus guys. I think, was it 02, 03?
03.
I'm 05.
05. When you guys were there, right? I'm a public school guy, unfortunately. I would have died to have that opportunity. Did Columbus feel special to you guys at all? Did you, like, know it? Or is it like, this is just cool and that's it?
I think it felt special. I really appreciated it. So, like you said, you know, I came from the public school system. So when I got to Columbus, I just saw that there was something different about it. And I think I realized that as we went on. And, you know, like his grade, we were all tight. The 03, 05, I feel like everyone was tight there. You know, there wasn't like, oh, you guys are freshmen. You know, we're not talking to you. You're sophomores or whatever.
Right.
I felt like it was just a big, big family.
Josh, being an entrepreneur, man, and now we're talking with John, and he's an entrepreneur too. What did Columbus help in any way with that, with your circle? I feel like the friendships and all that was huge. Did that help you?
By far, of course. The network and the brotherhood, the fraternity that you're joining, you don't know at the time what you're building and the families that you're growing with. And I would say that Columbus and the network of Columbus was a huge part of my foundation and still continues to be.
You guys do, I don't know if you guys are doing a lot of podcasts. You guys do a lot of podcasts or no?
Here and there. I've been doing a lot more lately than I usually do.
Do you miss it at all, baseball? Has that happened to you?
I think so. You know, baseball is my first love, and I always say it saved my life. So, you know, I definitely owe a lot to baseball in that. But, you know, I do enjoy spending time with my family. It's been amazing. You know, my kids, my wife, that's been great. But I do miss the camaraderie. I do miss the, you know, messing around with the guys and just going through life with a group of guys in the clubhouse with a common goal, which is, you know, to win. I do miss that part of it for sure.
I tell people, which is crazy, man, but in the history of Columbus baseball, you're the guy. That's fucking crazy and amazing at the same time, because we talked about this before. You actually played freshman baseball, which is crazy, bro, because now if you tell a kid to play freshman baseball, he's like, I'm the biggest loser of all time. Like, they're going crazy. I also think that you're probably the best UM baseball player of all time. Is that correct? That's how I think I have you there.
But first of all, the Columbus comment, I appreciate that. And UM, definitely not.
No, in a career, who had a better career than you? I don't think so, bro. And the years that you've had and what you've put up, World Series champ and stuff like that, who's had a better career? Not that they were better at Miami. I'm saying whole career through.
Yeah. I mean, Pat Burrell, man. Pat Burrell.
Well, Pat was a man, but he didn't pop off like that in the big leagues, though, did he?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah, we got UM's got a rich history, man. I'm happy to be, you know, hopefully in the top 10, top 15.
Of UM? No way, bro. I think you're top.
We got guys, man. We got guys. It's the U.
I know it's to you, but no way, bro. What you did there, and how many champ? You won any titles that you won?
I didn't get to win. That's the only ring I'm missing, man. Still missing that one.
Damn.
Hopefully they win this year, and I'm gonna get one since I'm in class with all these guys now. So.
Josh, when you look at the sports thing of Columbus and stuff like that, man, did you go to a lot to the games? Were you a part of that? You were growing up?
100%. I mean, that was part of being an explorer. You support the team. Football games were fun. You know, we had a good team, and. I mean, all the other, like, all the girls from Lourdes went, St. Brendan. So it was also, like, it was a party to go to these things. The basketball games are good. So I definitely attended a ton of sport games.
Yeah, that's how you got to hang out with girls, you know. We were boys all day, so you made sure you go to the sporting events.
You're talking to the cheerleaders. Yeah,
that's the move, bro. Like, it's so funny. I'm working with a kid the other day, and the kid's 11 years old. And I go, look, bro, you got to go to Columbus, man. He's like, no, coach, I want to talk to girls during the day. I was, what are you talking about, bro? These guys, you know how many girls these guys get, but you don't know about that. You know, you're like scared about that. I don't know. Were you scared about that coming from private school? Public school to that?
Honestly, I wasn't. I wasn't at all. I knew that, you know, it was going to be better for me not to be around girls during the day. And then, you know, on the weekends and night, you know, we would talk on the phone back then, the AIM, AOL Instant Messenger and stuff. So,
wow.
Dude, when I think of you guys, I think of two separate parts, right? Cool fucking dudes, man, that I think even though both of you guys are crushing it, you're just starting in wherever you're at. You know, I feel that. And then I think the other aspect of how you guys are just dominating on your field and what you're doing. When F1 happens, right, which was Miami's thing, and you guys are there in both separate places, how do you view that Miami's now the spot? Do you think about that? You're like, man, do we got the perfect time? How do you guys feel about that?
I'll take it, Jay.
There you go. that's this guy's right up his alley.
I mean, I feel like every 3 months, if you analyze what's going on in Miami, there's continuous growth. And I'm just, like, so proud to be from this city and seeing, like, who we were, you know, 10, 15 years ago to where we are now. We're sitting at F1. You know, we got the whole world here. You know, the biggest brands, the biggest celebrities, I mean, what bigger stage is there right now worldwide than F1? And it's hot right now. Thanks to that Netflix show, everyone.
Bro, that Netflix show, do you see that show?
I haven't seen it all yet, but I got to get on that.
Everybody talks about that,
everyone
bro.
Everyone fell in love. Like, everyone knows the drivers, the personality, the teams, the drama. And because of that, it's become, you know, just such a big sport throughout the whole world. But I'm proud that it's here in Miami now. I think that was one of the best things that happened in the city,
yeah,
for sure.
And it was huge. I mean, you know, I don't go out. You know, my wife and I don't go out like we used to go out when we were younger and stuff like that. But, you know, I used to always tell her, like, Art Basel, right? That was, like, my one weekend. Or, like, going out, there'd be people in town and, you know, people coming from everywhere and whatnot. And the parties are great and, you know, corporate events and all that stuff. But, I mean, F1 just was totally different. It just had this, you know, it's just a different feel. Like, the whole world was here. The whole world was, you know, you saw the picture, that famous picture of, you know, Beckham with Jordan and Brady. And
that was crazy.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And you know, the events that were put on and just everything going on that weekend, it was unbelievable. And then, you know, going to F1 for the first time and just seeing what went on. And the cool thing and thing I talk about with everyone was, like, this was just year one here. And it felt like it's been going on here forever. I mean, everything was seamless. Everything was, I mean, it was perfect. It was great.
Did they have boats in water? Or it looked like water?
It looked like water.
Oh, okay.
Water. I mean, it was pretty cool. The fact that they actually, like, because that is a Miami vibe here. It's, you know, boats is a big thing for us. So the fact that they incorporate that into the style of the race. And so there was a lot of good things. And for me, it was important. You know, when I heard that they're coming to Miami, I was like, how can I be a part of this? I have to be a part of something so great for the city. And, you know, reaching out to them and working with F1, it was not as hard. You know, they were embracive of bringing in Miami brands, even small businesses and all that. And I was like, wow, like these people are doing it right. So for sure, if this was race one, by 2, 3, and 4, this is going to be on another level.
So you guys are locked in every year.
I'm locked in every year. It's funny, I wasn't going to go. And like, I think that Thursday, I was talking to my buddy and I was like, yeah, I'm actually looking for a ticket or whatnot. And I was like, oh, and then just, you know, Miami stuff. One person calls another person and stuff happens. And
you're at the race.
Next thing you know, I'm hanging out at the Red Bull house. And I was just like, what's going on here?
Do you have a, to me, the driver, the it guy is a Hamilton, right? That guy's like the guy with the swag, whatever. Is there anybody else that's hot that you guys like or driver wise?
I mean, I'm a big Hamilton fan. So.
That's the guy?
I like his story. I'm big on his story.
What's his story? What's his story?
I mean, guys, he started out young. His dad was super, you know, he dedicated his life just to his kids so he could race.
John, as you look at youth sports, right? It's a little transition to youth sports, right? Josh, you played baseball for a little bit.
For a little bit, yeah. And also wrestled.
When you look at youth sports, do you, when you were a pro guy, did you look at it and go, oh my God, the parents aren't fucking this shit up. This was completely different than I did. Like when people would ask you advice, would you say like, listen, don't do this and that? How would you treat that, bro?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we forget about is their kids. Have fun. That's a thing. I remember going to my cousin's basketball games and, you know, they'd be playing. And I remember one time vividly, you know, the dad was just screaming at his son. Like, and I just couldn't help it. Like at the end, I told my wife, I'm like, I have to say something to this guy. And it's funny, you know, the gentleman was Cuban. And, you know, like us, I mean, we maxed out, a lot of us maxed out at 5'9", 5'10". And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, you're Cuban, right? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm Cuban. And I go, what are you, like 5'8", 5'7"? He's like, yeah, you know. And I said, well, your son, what do you think your son's going to be? You know, think your son's going to be 6'6", 6'7", playing the NBA? I'm like, let the kid have fun. And he kind of just looked at me like, whoa, what just happened here? So I put a big emphasis on having fun. You know, they're kids. You know, you're getting life lessons out of these games and whatever sport it is, whether it's wrestling, football, baseball, if you're a skateboarder, whatever it is, you're learning how to, you know, deal with adversity. And that's the biggest life lesson that we can give these kids. So I have a big emphasis on that. And it's funny, you know, my daughters are 5. They started playing soccer or whatnot. And, you know, I'm that parent that just sits back and lets them do their thing. You know, my only thing I want out of them is to try their hardest. You know, and that's all. That's all we talk about. Hey, try your hardest. As long as you try your hardest, and that's the best thing we can do.
Josh, with you, was it the same thing or no?
I mean, for me, my dad was definitely super hard on me, you know. But it also gave me the structure that I needed. You know, showing up to practice, being on time, doing everything that you needed to do to be successful, and taking those lessons and applying it later on to life. I didn't continue to be an athlete, but I continued to be, you know, just a business professional. And to me, that was important. But definitely, I saw those dads on the team. I just called them super passionate.
You know? Oh, for sure.
They're just ultra passionate dads.
That's great. And honestly, I'll say it. Like, I was super lucky in my household. You know, everyone was super positive. They let me kind of dictate whatever I wanted to do. I was a skater kid growing up playing baseball. I mean, how many baseball dads are going to let the kids skate?
Dude, it was crazy because I told you this the last time I interviewed you. When, I don't know, was your dad. I was at the Columbus clubhouse with Weber, and your dad walks in. I don't know, was your dad. And he starts talking about, no, that my son, when he was young, you know, I put a boxing gloves. I gave him a baseball. I gave him a football. I gave him a basketball. And whatever he gravitated towards. And he told me that, brother, you're a baseball guy. And then I had this conversation, I think, with Rolando, too, who's a hitting coach there and was a guy at International. And he goes, you wanted to go to Columbus. And people were like, correct me if I'm right or wrong, people were like, fuck, bro, to play for Columbus is a big deal. And you go, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be an outfielder. Like you were always super calculative. And that you wrote goals down. Like before The Secret, you were writing your goals down and manifesting, right?
Sure.
But it gets better. So the whole Columbus thing happens, right? You made All-County like junior year, sophomore year?
Junior year, I made second team All-County.
And senior year?
I was second in the county in hitting. So.
That's some politica. That's some politica there. And then senior year?
Senior year, I did make All-County.
Okay. And then I think it was him that told me, no, dad, I want to play in UM. And I was like, fuck, Miami, man. That's like the U. And at the time, Miami stacked. And to be an outfielder in Miami and to be a lefty hitter, because if you're an outfielder, it limits you. You know, it means you gotta hit. And you're not only, and correct, I remember this conversation. And I had this conversation with him, bro, like 4 years ago. And he said, that was your first goal. And then the second goal was to become an All-American at Miami. And you fucking hit that. And then you go, dad, I want to get drafted. I think you said in the first round, no or very low, something like that.
Just get drafted.
And then you get drafted. It felt like the first round. Was it a second?
Yeah, Yeah, it was drafting. It's getting drafted. For me, that, it didn't matter where I was.
Yeah, but what second round is it?
Second round.
Yeah, bro, but that's like, come on.
Last pick of the second round.
Damn, bro, into the Cardinals, which is crazy, dude. Did you manifest that, bro? Did you know that was the truth? Don't do some secret shit here. Did you like feel it? You're like, dude, I'm going to do it? Or did you just see stuff happening? Did you get a lucky hit one day off a lefty and go, oh my God, I can do this in varsity JV? Talk to me about that, bro.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I talk about it all the time now, is, you know, I always lived in the moment. So, you know, I made goals that were realistic to myself and that were attainable at the time. You know, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of times we'll say like, all right, I want to get to the big leagues, which is up here. But then it's like there's all these little steps. So I think I did a good job of just understanding, okay, if I can do this, then if I dominate this, and then what's next? Okay, then this comes next. So like you said, like going to Columbus, you know, I made the freshman team. But I looked around and said, man, everyone in Columbus is going to the best schools in the country. So if I can stick this out and I can make varsity eventually, and it doesn't matter if I play as a sophomore, as a junior, you know, hopefully as a senior, if I can just play 1 year in Columbus, it's going to put me on this path to be able to go to the next level, which would be college. You know, I was worried about getting a college scholarship. Like, how am I going to pay for college? That's what I'm thinking about in high school. So I'm able to, you know, make varsity. And then I kind of, you know, I did well. And then I look around at, you know, kind of measuring myself up to everyone else around the county. And I'm seeing, all right, well, these guys are going here. These guys are going there. Well, like, hey, you know, I can go to UM if I continue to do well. And that's kind of how I just really did everything. And then it's funny, when I committed to UM at the time, I mean, they had like 4 junior outfielders, 5 junior outfielders, sophomore, and I didn't care. I was like, I'll go in there and redshirt if I have to redshirt. I don't care. This is my dream school. And I remember people were like, hey, you're crazy going to UM. You're never going to play. What about this? You can go to all these other schools and this and that. And I'm like, listen, this is my dream. This is my life. And this is what I want to do. And like we said, like just kind of manifesting that, but being realistic with myself. So I always kind of did that. And like I said, go to UM and I'm playing with Ryan Braun and I'm playing with all these All-Americans and this and that. And then I honestly didn't think I'd been getting drafted until the summer before my junior year. You know, I see Braun go in the first round. And I'm like, dude, I hit behind this guy the whole year. And I'm like, oh, maybe I have a chance. And then I get invited to the USA team. And now I'm playing with guys that I read about my whole life. Literally read about them since I was 14 years old. Drew Stubbs, Matt LaPorta, all these guys. And I'm like, I'm sitting there with them. I'm like, man, I'm hitting third on the USA team to start off. I'm like, this is crazy. This is, so if I do this, and I remember the year before, all these guys got drafted high. So I'm like, man, I'm playing USA. All these guys win the first and second round. I'm like, cool, maybe I can do that as well. And I remember talking to my mom about it, and she's like, no, you're going to finish college. You have to finish. I'm like, mom, this is how baseball works. You know, you leave as a junior, you have leverage, they give you a signing bonus, and then it kind of goes on. So that's kind of been the approach I took the whole time, and, you know, getting to the big leagues, minor leagues, just my whole life. And then, you know.
I remember your dad saying a story of La Russa bringing you down. Like, you were up in the big leagues, and then he wanted to get you at bats and bring you down, and you weren't too happy about that or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, so it was just, you know, at the time, I had done well for a whole month in a limited role, and I had literally just moved myself into an apartment. Like, talking about, like, you know, doing things. So the first 2 weeks, I'm like, I'm not going to get an apartment. I don't know what's going to happen. But then once I had proven myself, I'm like, all right, I'm going to be here. But, you know, things happen, and it's just the way it goes. And we had acquired a veteran player. So it was like, hey, instead of you sitting on the bench, you're going to go get at-bats every day. And that's the long-term approach. You know, at the time, you're like, well, who knows, what if I get hurt and then I don't come back up? And you know, all these things are going through your head, but obviously it's the best thing that happened. I got to play every day. And then when I did get called up, it was a seamless transition again.
Are you pissed you never played with that powder blue?
I got to play with it once.
Yeah?
Just one time.
Have you seen that?
No, what is it?
The Cardinals powder blue.
They wear it all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
I got a good picture. I got a good picture of, like, David Freese. David Freese, Daniel Descalzo, myself, in the tunnel. And I remember grabbing the photographer myself. I'm like, hey, I need this picture.
I need this picture. Right.
But yeah, these uniforms are sweet, man. They're sweet. That's what they wore in the 80s and stuff. So it's
sick, cool. Bro. Sick.
Throwbacks. I love it.
Josh, your story with me is interesting because I got to know you during the pandemic. Bro, everybody started ordering fucking Josh Premium Meats.
That was nearly like the beginning.
The beginning, right? So I started to hear from you, and everybody was posting it and this. So I got to reach out to this guy. So I reach out to Delgado, and Delgado is like, "No, we'll put this guy in." And me and you started talking, right? And at the time, you told me about the story where you had the meat in your garage, and you're literally pushing meat out of here.
Yeah, it, like a small business, like, on the weekends selling meat Friday through Sunday in a garage, and having people come through and place their orders and. It was a second job because I was still working at the hospital. So it was tough. But, you know, knowing what I know now, thank God I never stopped. And that drive to continue to see what it would develop into. And the first year, I remember I was like, why am I doing this? I'm not even making like I would look back and I was like, I'm not making what I think I should be making
right.
for the amount of work I'm putting in, but I was seeing how like it, the reaction of people and like and even me, like I was like, people are like, this is the best steak I've ever had in my life. Like, this is better than any restaurant I've been to in the world. This and that, and they're like, don't stop. And I was driven by that like excitement, that experience that people were having, even though I wasn't, because in the beginning, like it was tough. I was learning how to run your own business. I had always worked, you know, for corporate companies. I was a medical device rep, but learning how to do.
Did you know that, John? That he was selling medical devices?
I didn't.
Yeah. So I was working for a company and learning how to run a business, you know, just from ordering to selling to, you wear all the hats, to accounting, to everything. And it was great. And that's when I got to meet you towards the beginning before, you know, I had a really nice, you know, store. And then before that, the warehouse. And so definitely.
Did you know you're going to be this good at this? Did you feel it? Did you knew that you were trendsetting and all stuff?
I don't think you see it when it's happening. I think the growth, you see it later on because you're so focused on your daily craft, on just what you want to do and making sure. I definitely had the passion and the drive. But I was always one of those people. You never see your growth because to me, it's like I live in the trenches day to day. Right. And like you can't really play into those other.
So right now your meat's where? Like I know you told me Poppy Steak. Well, where do we get your stuff at?
So when I first started, it was just strictly for people that grilled at home. But I'm 35 now, and the things that I enjoy to do, it's not as much clubbing. I enjoy going to nice restaurants, fine dining. And for me, it was always a goal to be able to take the meats that we bring in from Japan and Australia and incorporate that into local restaurants and start building a relationship with local restaurants because that's what I truly love. And now we do over 45 restaurants in Miami alone. So that to me is, you know, it was a huge accomplishment, especially landing on it, like seeing your name, like these meats handpicked by Josh Premium Meats on a menu. I was like, I remember I had like a surreal moment.
What was
like,
the first menu you saw that had that?
It happened to be one of the best restaurants in Miami. It's ZZ's. It's a members only club owned by a major food group. And at this restaurant, you only see, you know, just top level, top notch guys at this place. And I was just like, wow, like I was able to, you know, to accomplish this with just hard work and in a short amount of time, only 5 years. So to me, I was like, man, if I could do this in 5 years, what can I do in the next five? And it just continues to push me to see what, you know, where else we can go and continue to grow the brand. But I was telling Jay before we got on, like growing a brand is the hardest thing I've ever had to do because it's consistency. It's making sure you're always doing the right things and the people around you believe in your brand the same way that you do because they are an extension of you. So always making sure that the brand is being represented in the right way and just having that extra strength to just always keep going, even when you're tired, even when you're like, man, this guy called me at the last second or, you know, this restaurant. And I'm just like, that's what makes us, you know, top notch.
The best, huh?
Yeah, when Alex Halley calls you and he's like, yo, Jay's at my house. We're going to barbecue. I need.
Yeah, I'm already leaving. I'm like, all right, we're turning back.
What's your favorite thing to get from his? What do you like to barbecue? Is it churraco? What are you into?
Churraco. For sure. I'm easy. Churraco is my go-to.
That's definitely like a top. That's our top. It's Miami. Who doesn't eat churraco? If you don't eat churraco, that means you're a vegetarian.
I make the churraco at night and I make sure I have enough for the next 2 days. I can eat the same thing every day. And I make steak and eggs in the morning.
I mean, but it's not good. It's not hard either.
And then I just keep it going.
What's your number one seller? Is it churraco? What is it?
By far, like 10-1. 10 Miami, to yeah, if you leave Miami, I probably wouldn't even sell churraco. Miami's just like, I think I have babies that come in. They're like, oh, baby wants churraco. I'm like, this baby wouldn't know if it's eating, like, you know, anything. But no, churraco.
Jay, we talked about something there, bro, interesting, which is branding, right? Your brand as a baseball player, because branding is reputation. Right, so it's all very similar to parenting, you know, it's something that you like care about so much. Your brand was almost like a low-key dude that got the job done that really wasn't trying too hard. You weren't trying to win the game with one swing. You were a guy that used to work the pitchers, lefty on lefty, or you would rarely pull the ball, you used to go the opposite way, and just real technical stuff like that, man. As we talked almost at the end of your career, I almost felt that you're preparing for this role in life technically. Like, I get a vibe from you like Pharrell. I get a Pharrell vibe from you.
Skateboard P.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like that. And I get very earthy, organic, the yoga and all these things that, bro. And I'm sure growing up, like, it was like loser world. Like, bro, what is this guy doing, right? But now it's like the win-win, bro. That uniqueness about your brand and how you took care of it, bro. Were you always conscious about that? Is that just something that happened?
I don't think I was always conscious about it. I think, you know, like I said, my parents, my grandparents, they always instilled in me a be a good person, be a good human being, you know. And like, you know, going back to Columbus, you know, it's a Catholic school and all that. And I always had a big faith. And I always said, like, I'm going to be an extension of, you know, what God wants me to be. You know, I might not read the Bible every day. I might not be all entrenched in all these other things, but I'm going to try to be an example and just be a good person. You know, I know to get to the point that I got to now, you know, there's a village of people behind me that were always there looking out for me, helping me out. So, you know, I just always tried to do the same thing. And then it's just kind of funny how, like you said, like, you know, I grew up as a skater. I used to wear Jenkos in sixth grade. I was wearing Jenkos and skates.
Fuck, yeah, bro.
I was like, I was that guy. And like, you know, my old school Cuban grandparents are like, you can only wear those pants if you're skating.
Muchacho, parece un payaso con los pantalones. You remember Jenkos?
Of course, man.
They used to flare out the things.
So, you know, my cousin grew up in New York, so that was like my influence to where now it's like, it's me. Like, I love the ride bike. I love the paddleboard, yoga, skateboarding, like, surfing, like all this stuff.
Dude,
that
you do the bike too, man. You know Nigel, you have to know Nigel Sylvester, right?
Like, I know who he is. He's the man.
That's like the biking. Do you know who that is?
I haven't met him yet.
The man, Jordan Brand.
He's on he has the number five. He has, so funny. So we were in a meeting the other day and a kid who went to Columbus, the guy who we met with was wearing those shoes and he was wearing the Nigel Jordans.
The ones.
And he goes to him, he goes, oh, bro, your shoes are dirty. Oh, yeah. And he goes, you know, they come that way. Yeah, yeah. Like, he has special shoes that are super sweet that they come that way. That is crazy, man. Yeah, because as I watched that, I was the reverse. I'm always a guy that was looking to pop off because I was just losing. In my life, I was just losing so much. And I felt that I'd walk into rooms with guys like you, and I'd like, for some weird reason, I had to impress versus, I wasn't trying to like hate on anybody or anything, but I just wanted to impress, to be like, fuck, I want to fit in with these guys. These are the guys, man. This guy has guys asking for free meat all the time now. Right, like he has to like literally shut down. His mom has become like a bodyguard. Like, no. There's like a list, right? It's funny. It reminds me of Tom Ford. So one of my boys in Los Angeles was a number one Tom Ford guy, sales guy. And Tom Ford used to have a list of people that are, who's 50% off, who's like Brad Pitt, Jay-Z, Tom Hanks, and it goes down the list, right? Do you have a list of who's on the list, what percentage, who's trying to sneak in the meat, what's going on?
You know that it's not even, you would think that list is actually, you know, full of like people of status and celebrities, but honestly, it's the people that I rocked with from day one. It's the people that came to the garage on the weekends, that came and supported me when no one knew about, you know, Josh Premium Meats, when there wasn't a big brand and it was just about, you know, what it was. Those are the people I take care of, my day ones. Those are the people that, hey, you're with me. You're always going to stay with me, and I'm going to always take care of you. So, and even when we work with people with status and celebrities, to me it's important that they're skin in the game. You know, we take care of them, but I'm not a big fan of just like, oh, you know, here, like we're not desperate for, you know, we want people to actually believe in the brand, to be a part of the brand and have pride. And so when I meet people like that want to be a part of it, that's when it's a beautiful relationship. Every time I've tried to force it, never works out.
Damn, bro. That's because I get that vibe from both you guys, that you guys didn't try to force. And bro, my life's completely different. Everything that's worked out for me, I fucking had to force, bro. If not, nothing would happen. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it's the Columbus thing or not, but I had to force every fucking thing, bro. Like nothing happens to me. Nothing happens to me good unless I fucking go. My wife, I had to fucking force it. Everybody, like,
that's a different story. I had to force my wife too. I had to, you know.
Yeah, bro.
Pursuing. That's a different one.
But it's like everything great. I feel like because people are like, oh, it's landed on my lap. No way, bro. I fucking had to go like ham, dude. It's just crazy how I struggled big time with identity issues. Like I could, bro. If I could be cool like Jay, fuck, bro. If I could be a smooth guy like Josh, fuck, bro. How do you guys dealt with that growing up and now? Because now you're at F1 and you got fucking Jordan and Brady and you're like, oño, tremenda pinta or whatever. And then you're here with Chef John George or at this place, at Commode, whatever. How do you guys deal? Bad Bunny, you're fucking playing, he's in your fucking video or your thing. How do you guys deal with that?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, like I'll compare it to, you know, in baseball, you know, I get called up and, you know, I got Albert Pujols standing right next to me, the guy that I grew up watching. And then you get to know guys and you're like, hey, we're all the same. We're normal people,
right?
You know? some people are more recognizable, some people are Hall of Famers and stuff like that, but you know, we're all the same people. And I think, like I said, you know, I talk about my parents, my grandparents a bunch, and they just always taught me that, you know, treat people with respect, you know. And that's always been the biggest thing with me. And yeah, there's times you get excited to see people, and of course, you know, it happens, you know, people you idolize and, you know, people you grew up watching and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, I just, you know, everyone's a human being. And, you know, I love now, like, it doesn't matter how famous you are, how rich you are. Like, if you're not a good person, I could care less. I could care less. Like, oh, I got this, I got that. Like, dude, cool. You have money. Cool. What does that do? It doesn't matter. Like, you know, so I like being around good people and helping good people. And like you said, you know, building these relationships and doing different things. It's like, you know, if you have the right intentions, you know, things happen for you in karma. You know, things happen when you least expect it to. But, you know, I always try to live my life as that person that's trying to do good and trying to help people out. And, you know, some people don't want to hear it. Some people don't want to take it. But it's like, I know in my heart I can go to sleep with peace knowing that, hey, you know, I'm trying to be the best person I can be.
Josh, talk to me.
I would say, what I love about Jay-Z, he's super humble. And we have a similar foundation when it comes to, you know, just staying modest, staying always humble, and just knowing who you are. But it's always exciting when you're working with, you know, just these, you know, high profile. It could be a high-end chef or whatnot. But to me, I love it because they share the same passion, the same things that I love to do. So, and they're a person just like you. But once you, you know, have those conversations and you start building that relationship and you have that, what unites you together, then it's a beautiful thing. So to me, I love it. I love it. And I don't, you know, I won't, there's no stage that I won't go to. And I've yet not to felt comfortable or find a way to relate to whoever's in the room, you know, and I feel that, you know, I belong there just as much as anyone else. So that to me has always been important.
That makes sense, bro. Stock hitting real quick, bro, because I can't let you leave all this stock hitting. What mindset should a hitter have? We're not talking about big league. We're talking about, let's say, middle school, high school. It's just kind of the same, right? What mindset is today everybody's fucking launch and let's lock and load and let's try to hit home runs, right? What worked for you, number one? And then number two, you're the hitting coach, you're the manager. What are you teaching kids today?
Yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, I knew my strengths. You know, I knew I was a singles hitter. I was a line drive hitter. I knew that's what I did really well. So I didn't try to do anything more than that.
You never tried to change it?
Never tried to change it.
So smart.
Never tried to change it. And it's funny because, you know, people are like, oh, if you hit for power, you can make more money and you can do this and do that. I'm like, look, what's going to keep me in the big leagues is playing defense, being a good teammate, running the bases, and hitting line drives. That's going to keep me in the big leagues. I can stay right there and make a good living and be all right. Yeah, could I try to hit home runs and then this happens or that? Yeah, but I'm going to stay where I know I can be successful. So that's kind of been what I did the whole time. And then, you know, if I'm a hitting coach now, when I taught the kids, it's like, you know your strengths and control the strike zone. You know, work the pitcher, understand the scoreboard. You know, the scoreboard tells you everything you need to know in baseball. I'm leading off an inning, I need to get on base. So how can I get on base? Work the pitcher. You know, there's a man on third, there's one out, the infield's back. All I got to do is hit a ground ball to the second baseman, and I get the job done, which is getting an RBI. I'm not trying to get a hit. I'm trying to dominate the situation every single time. So that's what I'd really teach. It's the fundamentals of the game.
Were you ever a guy, but it's happened to me so many times, that you start the game wearing batting gloves and wristbands, and then it's going bad, and you take out the wristbands and throw it?
No, I've seen a lot of that. Change shoes, shoelaces.
Is that superstitious stuff?
Yeah. I tried
it just sucks.
I wasn't that guy. I was a guy that games at 7:15, and it's 7:07, and I'm still in the clubhouse. I'm listening to music. I'm hanging out, relaxing, because okay. I knew, and we talked about, like, having, you know, that confidence in a room or whatnot. I knew I'd put in all the work I need to put in during the day that – all right, whatever's going to happen in the game is going to happen. You know, I'm not going to...
Let's talk about work. Okay, hold on a second. So in high school, an example, how many days a week were you hitting?
Oh, every day.
You're hitting every day at... Well, yeah, because we're practicing every day. Before that, would you still hit every day, like 8th grade, 10th grade?
8th grade, I mean, we played a lot. But, yeah. You know, once... I think I always tell people, like, when your kid's 12, 13, 14 is when you can really start taking ownership in what you want to do and taking that passion. And then, you know... I wanted to go do things. Like, no one had to tell me, like, hey, no, you have to go hit this time. So that they kind of let me do what I wanted to do.
So 12, 13, 14, that's when you started.
That's when I really just, like, oh, I like baseball. I love baseball. It's funny. I actually played at, you know, I started playing in South Miami Quarter League. It was a Quarter League. It was fun. Everything was great. You know, eat potato chips after the game, hang out with your friends, cool. And then I went to an academy, which was amazing. I went to hardball, and it was great, but it was more intense. And it was great because, you know, you learn the fundamentals and you do a lot of good things. But that just wasn't me at that time. I wasn't ready for that. And I remember telling my mom, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Put me back in South Miami Quarter League so I can hang out with my friends.
I want those chips. What potato chips were you eating?
Man, I don't even remember, dude. Lay's. Who knows?
Was it Lay's?
Ruffles.
Ruffles. Those, Ruffles, which I don't think they have the original Ruffles anymore.
With the little blue.
The little blue thing. Yeah. What about you? What are your chips?
I like the cheddar ones. I always like the cheddar ones. That and the Fritos. That was a big.
Fritos are big, too.
Fritos is big.
Bro, I hate this because every time, like, when I reminisce, I got to destroy my dad, right? Because it just sucks. Cause my dad was fucking Mr. Serrano's generic, like, fucking, if I could get this guy to get me Fruit Loops, he'd buy the one with the panda versus the fucking, the real bird. But Tamiami Park was known for its pizza, right? And I'm a Tamiami Park guy. And, bro, I used to, which is crazy, I used to run around and look at the garbage cans because my dad was always like, oh, I comida la casa. My mom cooked every night, bro. But I would look and people would drop pizza, bro, and I would just go to the garbage. Nobody's looking. Go to the garbage can and eat pizza, bro, and just fucking go crazy in pizza. How? It's crazy, man, because when you think back, right, because we've lived, man. We're, how old are you now?
37,
right?
35.
I'm 43. I feel like if I'm like mentally, almost like, bro, like my vibe is like I'm like 20, like real young, right? But that was a long time ago, man. Do you think about that a lot? Do you think about your childhood a lot? In doing podcasts and interviewing people, I'm constantly like reminiscing, and I'm in youth, so I use my examples to it. Do you guys know what you do now? And obviously you got kids, and I know that brings you back, but do you think about that a lot?
Every day. I think my wife gets sick and tired of hearing stories from, oh, baby, when I was this age, I would do this and I'll do that. And it's like, you've told me the same story a bunch of times. And especially now, I mean, now I really can do, it's funny, now it's like I'm living the life that I would have been living when I was 10, 11, 12, if I wasn't playing baseball all the time, right? I'm skateboarding, I'm riding bike, I'm just doing surfing, I'm doing all these things where, you know, I couldn't drive myself to go do all these things, and there weren't skate parks around back then or whatnot. So now I'm like living like my, it's like I'm back in the 90s, and I'm like, this is Jay in the 90s without baseball. You know, I'm doing all these things that I've always loved and always had a passion for, but now I can do it and I can afford to, you know, bump my knee. Like, I mean, right now I'm walking around my knees in chow, like, big,
fell and there's no worries.
No worries. We'll put some ice and we'll be all right.
And you, Josh?
Definitely. There's always reflection in your childhood and you know, what makes you as a person. And now, as I've gotten older, I think, you know, having a great relationship with the people that took care of me, now I get a chance to, you know, help them is my parents. So definitely that's been something that, you know, I look back and all the great memories that they helped me, you know, have, I want to give back to them. You know, now that I can help them and whatever. And I see my mom every day. And
hey, you got her in the car. Was that hard, bro, working with your mom? Or is it the best thing?
She's the only person at work I can't control. I tell her one thing and I'm like, if she does 10% of that, I'll be happy. But I get to see her every day. And I have a lot of friends that, you know, don't have their parents or lost a parent during COVID. And I don't take that for granted. Like, seeing her every day, even if it's just having her next to me while we're eating lunch. And it's that moment because we're both busy. Have her. So to me, that's special. But definitely, you know, I'd look back at, you know, being a kid, and I still do a lot of the things I like to do now. You know, I like boating, I like going out and traveling, and I still, you know, my parents were big on traveling when I was a kid and skiing and all these things, and I feel like a kid now. Every time I do it, I think of when I was 10 or 12 or doing all those things. I'm just like, man, like, I'm never gonna grow up. I'm gonna be a big kid forever.
Dude, I love that. You talked about boating. We got boat here. Talk to us about this boat brand, bro.
Yeah, best of all time. So, my buddy Andrew Lane and myself, we've been getting to work the last couple months. So, you know, it's cool. We were able to do this collab with a legendary street artist from Miami, Atomic, that, you know, he's famous for his orange. And, you know, we were able to slap down on our brand, which has been cool. So it's been fun for me just diving into different things. And it's funny, I feel busier now than I did when I was playing baseball, which is awesome. You know, I get up. I mean, I don't sleep. So I'm up at 3:30, sometimes 4. Just to
really?
Play. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you don't sleep because of excitement, or you don't sleep? Is it excitement?
Excitement. I was never much of a sleeper before. I mean, you know, during the baseball season, I mean, you're over 20. You know, those are some long nights for a couple of days.
Right.
But because, you know, your mind just constantly on. But I just always had this energy. And, you know, I was working out. I started working out when I was 14 before high school. So when I got to UM, it was nothing for me to wake up and do all these things. And now it's fun where, you know, I can work on some stuff in the morning, I'll work out, and I make sure that, you know, by 7:15 when the kids are all getting up, I'm home, we hang out for a couple hours, you know, before they go to school, take them to school, and then I have time to do other things, and it's been good. So, yeah, working on boat, I'm part owner as well as a sunglass company called Tomahawk Shades. So
I saw that, dude.
I gotta hook both you guys up.
Yeah, bro, I would have worn it today. What's the number one seller?
Oh, man. Honestly, we got a bunch of good stuff. Small batch. So, you know, we make a small batch of, you know, all our different models.
Well, is there like a model that's more popular? Or which one do you like rocking the most?
Dude, I rock all of them.
Yeah?
I literally have my 25 pair there waiting for me, and I kind of mix and match.
Depends on the styles, right?
It's funny. I was kind of mad because I pulled up today and I wasn't wearing glasses. I was like, I forgot them before I left, and I was like, I never forget sunglasses.
Really? But you take them out of the car?
Yeah, I mean, I got.
Because you have different cars.
I'm lucky enough to have a wide variety now that I get to.
Pick that's true. Them. That's
I like,
true.
I like, you know, I like.
Do match. You match them? You match them?
Absolutely, I match. I match everything. You know, I have a couple of wedding rings. You know, I got different colors, and you know, my wife makes fun of me, but you know, it depends the outfit, depends how I'm feeling and stuff. So.
That's the artistic side of him, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, Pharrell. This guy's the Pharrell with that could hit 320 any day of the week, bro.
Yeah, so both been good. The Tomahawk Shades, and then I'm actually part of a tequila company called Lo Siento.
Okay.
So we launched in L.A. We're in the west side of L.A. We're in all the H-Wood Group venues out there. And then we're actually now in Nashville. We're in a bunch of the local bars there. And then we're the official exclusive tequila of the new soccer stadium, Geodis Park, which I got to go to. It's absolutely beautiful.
Where's that stadium at?
In Nashville. Nashville. So we're licensed in Nashville in Tennessee and in California, and then we're direct to consumer in 39 states.
And it's called Lo Siento.
I love Lo Siento. That name. Can we get a Bad Bunny collab here? Like Lo Siento.
Whatever you want, man.
Hey, we need that. Hey, we manifesting it, right? That's right now.
Dude,
we're gonna coach a show. Right now. We're gonna you heard it here first. We're manifesting. We want Bad Bunny.
Let's go. So we're the unapologetic spirit.
You know? I love it, dude.
So that's been a ton of fun. You know, for me it's great, just learning. Like I'm learning every single day.
Right.
And that's been good. And then, you know, I'm back in school. So I left school as a junior. I had a year left, so I just finished my first three classes this semester. Proud to say I got 2 A's and a B.
Look at you, bro.
So I was super pumped.
Overachiever
about that.
Over here. Look at this guy.
It was amazing.
Online course or going to class?
I'm in class.
You're in class?
In the front?
I sit in the front. Oh. I'm in class. I talk the most in class.
Really?
I talk to professors after, asking for, you know, these, you know, brilliant professors over at UM and just giving me advice with everything I need. So this is my routine. You know, I park at the baseball field. Put my backpack on, and then you know I jump on the skateboard. So you'll see me skateboarding through campus.
Tremenda pinta, bro.
You think he's a freshman?
You think he's a freshman?
He's skateboarding from the dorms.
I'm telling you, it's amazing. I skate through campus.
This guy's doing ollies. You do ollies and all that?
I can ollie. Ollies, a kickflip, not yet, but I'm gonna get a kickflip down this summer.
Yeah, that's, if you don't let him see your gray hair down here, no, you're a freshman.
I've owned this now. You know, I used to use adjuster, man. You know,
you did?
Of course.
That's not an ad, by the way. It's for real.
Of course. But then now I own it. You know, I own it. I want them to ask. They're like, hey, how old are you? I'm 37.
Bro, when I had him on, he had the dreads, and they were growing real long, and I loved them on. I thought it was like a real cool look on him, right? And then he cut them off. People, look at that, but great hair, bro. Wow, man. Yeah, because Pops has great hair, too. What are genetics, bro? And you, too, this guy, great hair. I've never done that, men, for things, only because... Because your skin color, you could pull it off. But me, bro, like you see the guys that are like this and they start hiding the whites and it becomes brown for some reason. That has to be the weakest look in the world, no?
Hey, you got to own it. I just owned it. Yeah. I like it.
I know. You pulled it off. I'm telling you. But when you have light skin, I don't think you pull it off.
You got a great beard though, coach.
Listen, I'm there. I have the grays. I just wish I could be a little more somber. If it's just white here, I wish it was more white. And then I just can't wait till it be like Santa Claus.
All white.
And just go all white like Armani and stuff like that. And just like the old school and just rocked his vibe. But by the way, shout out to Duvin, my man Austin Duvall, for the fit. Sent me like six of these. It's a conversation starter. It's tropical. My vibe with this, I'm going to see if you guys agree with this. I want it to look like a guy that's on vacation, but just be crushing and working 24/7. But my vibe is vacation. That's it.
I like it. I mean, I love the conversation starter outfits.
Yeah.
I like that. I've had people tell me like, dude, you look like a mascot right now. I'm like, good. This is how I roll.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to go in, I go all in.
Well, because it's very different from our parents, bro. Because our parents wouldn't pull like very like conservative, like solids and this and that. And especially now with the whole, like the Miami thing and how it pops and stuff. I just think it's interesting to switch it up. I think it's interesting to switch it up. You have a couple of tattoos. You going to get more? Not really.
Yeah. So I got right here La Madrid. So I started later. You know, I was like 31. But everything's super significant.
Me too, bro. I started at 30, so.
Yeah, so the first one I got was Palante. You know, my grandfather, that was his favorite thing to say. You know, Palante, Palante, hey, no, Palante.
So Patrani pa impuso.
And Palante, then I got La Madrid to honor that side of the family, my mom's side. Then got the J. I got the kid's birthday, the twins. And then I got my wedding anniversary. And then I got Little Man's. And then I got the U down here. I got the U down here. So this was cool. You know, I was lucky enough to be put in the Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. So that's when I got this one.
Nice.
And then this was my last one right here. This is, I got Curious George. You know, Hear No Evil, See No Fear No Evil. And this was kind of when I kind of knew in my life that, you know, last year I was like, all right, baseball's been great. Everything's been amazing. I'm thankful for it. But, you know, now I'm just, this is me. I'm going to live my life, you know, the way. Because I wanted this forever. Like, my wife used to be like, you're going to get, this is what you're really going to get. I'm like, I'm going to get this one day. I'm going to get it one day. And then one day I did. So
you wanted that See No Evil, Hear No Evil thing forever?
The Monkees.
With the Monkees.
For sure. Curious George is my guy.
Curious George. So Curious, you love the man with the yellow hat and the whole thing.
Love it. Since I was a
kid. You were a little kid.
Since I was a kid.
Curious George. Yeah. You ever see Reading Rainbow?
I remember the name.
It was on PBS. It used to be, it's in a book, a Reading Rainbow. And they used to talk about Curious George, bro, which they used to show us to us on the projector. You guys are a little young. You have the projector. And they hit you with the Curious George, bro. Josh, any tattoos? Are we going to get a machete there soon, or what are we looking at?
No.
I think I need a machete.
I haven't gotten any tattoos yet, no. But
you think about that at all? You're like, nah, bro. No.
But I did buy my first chain, and I think I'm going to get some sort of like JP, something that, you know, I want to get, but no tattoos yet. You know, I don't know. I just still haven't like started it, and I know once I start, it's not going to stop. I'll end up with a sleeve. So I'm just trying to like.
Yeah, I got some more stuff coming, I think.
Yeah?
I've been manifesting.
Where are you thinking of putting?
I'm a big like leg guy.
Really?
Yeah, leg guy. I like the leg guy.
Coach, you got nothing on your legs.
No, because I have bad legs, bro. Listen, these flamingo legs, all right? Look at this.
You show them off. Look at this show.
I have to because of the look.
You got a tan.
I got to go hide things. I got the tan. I used to have the baseball sock tan, which was horrible. But I got these flamingo legs from my dad that suck, bro. And I get pissed. And it's so crazy. You mentioned that. Every time I look at myself down, I think of my dad because we have the same legs. I'm like, fuck, bro.
Bobby, you hooked me up here.
Fucking sucks, dude.
Yes. So I think I'm going to do like the right side to do like my sports tribute, you know, like my career, like things that have been very important.
Okay.
Like that. And the left side is going to be like kind of like my lifestyle type of thing. So I'm waiting to, I haven't caught a barrel yet on a surfboard. But I think when I catch a barrel, then I'm going to get a little, the shaka or the surfboard, something like that. And then I think I need to hit a kickflip before I get a skateboard.
All right. So what did you call that? What do you catch?
A barrel.
A barrel. So is that like the barrel? So is that like this? So you go through this? So you go through?
You're in it.
You know what I heard that now? You know what I heard that now? Since there's wave pool,
you like the young and up and people, young and up
practice, you don't have to practice. You don't have to do the ocean.
Unbelievable. I mean, you have a consistent wave every single time, and that's what I love about surfing. Surfing. You know, you can be hanging out, especially here in South Beach. You're just hanging out, and then all of a sudden, right there, this thing just pops up, and you gotta, you know, go.
Yeah, but there's no waves here, bro.
We got waves.
Unless there's waves here. Yeah, unless there's a hurricane coming.
We got waves. We have waves. South Beach is really good. We actually get one of the best swells. So you need a north swell for South Beach, and then Harbor House, which is Holliver, gets really good consistent waves, and then you drive up the coast. I mean, the best wave I ever caught in my life was in Stewart, Jensen Beach, and I think I rode this thing for like 15 seconds. And I got up and I still couldn't believe it. I'm thinking about it now. Like I just caught it and I was like, all right, stay up, stay. And I started doing some carving. And I don't know what happened. And I was like, this is awesome. So I like to travel. I got into surfing in Nicaragua, Costa Rica. So I got to go to a couple different places. I wasn't good at all then. I'm not that same.
Did you take lessons or something?
Did I take lessons? I took a lesson in Hawaii. So I surfed in Hawaii. I took a lesson early on, and then now, but I'm looking forward to trying to do one of these summer trips. Like one of another surfer guy from Miami, they just did it. You call it a striker mission. So like, you know, you're watching the weather, and next thing you know, like, oh, tomorrow, you know, in 2 days there's gonna be waves in, you know, this country, or whatever. So they just went to El Salvador, and I saw some of the waves that these guys are getting there. I was like, man, I need to spend a good week out there to see.
And you can control yourself in that. You can handle yourself well, or
It depends how big the waves are.
Yeah,
3 to 4, I'm okay. 4 to 5, maybe. 6?
That gets crazy.
But we'll see. But I am looking forward to challenging myself and getting out there and really throwing myself in the mix.
When you go there with like your same group of friends, is it new people, surfing community?
Yeah, I got a couple surfer friends, actually Columbus guys. So they're my dudes. And then my cousin.
You can find everything at Columbus.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. So my cousin's actually a big surfer, photographer, filmer, great. He lives out in Montauk, New York. So he kind of runs the local scene out there. So I got to get on a trip with them.
Dude, The every surfer loves Jack Johnson, the musician. You ever heard of him?
I know who he is.
Yeah, he plays all these songs. It's just like surfer community and stuff. It's like, it's happy, bro. It's like happy. Yeah, it's like, dude. It's like chill. And I love it because I remember going to his concert because a guy who I was training as kid, the family was huge into Jack Johnson. Went to the Hollywood Bowl, which is beautiful. And I was like, look at this community, bro. Everybody's like happy, chill. Where is the, you know what Jack Johnson is?
Of course.
So I was like, oh, man, I like that vibe, man. I just like that relaxing, the relaxing vibe.
It's good music.
Yeah, it's chill and it's this, the Heat, the Miami Heat, right? You think we're going to beat the Celtics? Yes, we no, need, without
we
being
need, we
too.
Need to, we need to. I'll be there tonight.
You're going to go tonight? When I look at the Heat, right, I always miss everything that's good. Like the runs, I miss. Like I miss the whole LeBron thing. I'm in Los Angeles, so I miss. I was living on set. That sucked. Did you go to any games during that era, any of you guys?
I did, but I wish I would have gone to more because you don't realize how
you take it for granted. Yeah.
You think, you know, when you hear one, two, we're going to be seven, you think it's going to be going on forever, and it didn't. But, you know, we had Dwayne Wade, and that to me is like, you know, Dwayne Wade. We got to see Shaq play for the Heat one time. As a Heat fan, you've seen a lot. You've had a lot. You know, Dwayne Wade is probably, you know, arguably one of the best, you know, I think the best Heat player we've ever had, right?
For sure. I mean, that.
Well, then LeBron not. LeBron.
No, I'm saying from start to finish.
Yeah, of course.
And I always say about D-Wade, that's different from, you know, Miami's a big city, you know, and it's like not one person really controls Miami. It's too many people. But, I mean, Dwayne Wade. Like
yeah, like Marino, Dwayne Wade.
You gotta say Haslam too. You gotta
Haslam too, of course.
Who?
Haslam's the muscle. You know, Haslam's the guy partying the crowd.
We respect him.
I love UD. Like,
yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
What I love about UD is like I see we had similar roles in our career, right? Where behind the scenes, this guy did it all. You know what I mean? He's the one that made sure, hey, this is how we do things. You know, and just really ran the team.
Now that you brought that up, bro, do you see yourself going back into baseball, or are you done?
Honestly, you never say never.
Not as a player. I mean as a front office.
No, fair, I'm done.
But like front office guy, coaching guy.
Yeah, honestly, you never say never. But for me, the biggest focus is my family. You know? Mm-hmm. People tell me all the time, like, oh, you have so much to offer the game and this and that. I'm like, yeah, but I have so much to offer my family and my kids.
Right.
So for me, it's just finding that balance. You know, anything I do now is family first. So if it's going to interfere with, you know, my family or whatnot, then, you know, like it's critical. I'm actually going to work. I'm working regionals for ESPN. So I'm gonna be announcing regionals.
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Yeah, which is you probably like a year ago, you would have probably like, you have to do this. And I'll be like, oh, we'll see one day. But
I told you, didn't I tell you? I called it, bro. I go, because I don't know, man. I got a couple gifts, but one of the gifts I have is if you, just like with this guy, with this motherfucker, I said the same thing. I go, Josh, bro, I'm seeing these things. And it's because I love what both you guys got going on. So it was great to get both you guys here because when we spoke and I saw the commentary thing, I go, oh, this guy's perfect. He speaks real clean, looks clean, but has an edge to him, was a fighter, player, was a guy, was an underdog. People didn't really think he was the guy, so he's a perfect commentator, and he's an authentic guy, which most people, hey, how are you? Welcome to the ballpark today. We're out here in the beautiful Miami, Florida, right? Which new school is different. And with Josh, what I saw was a guy super passionate about fucking meat, bro, that it's an upscale thing because, bro, when I'm growing up, I'm not ordering Wagyu, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I learned about that when I was in Vegas. So to see you guys kind of grow that way and stuff, bro, that makes me very happy.
And I think, you know, Jay and I both share a common, we love people. You know, we love to see the way people are wired and we like good people. And I think that that's important. So when you're a master of your craft, he's talking baseball and he's personable. I want to watch him. I want to hear you talk about the game. You know, and especially that I know you, and so I'm always rooting for him.
I think we should hear. So, how's it gonna sound? Like, give us like your intro. Says, hi, this is John Jay here. How's it gonna sound? Talk to me.
Opening day, right here.
Let's get a little opening day. Like, so you're gonna be obviously you're gonna have the color man. You're gonna be the baseball talk guy.
Yeah, we're gonna figure it out.
So, how go? But give us a thing. So, a guy hits a talk hitting. What are you gonna say? A guy does some good hitting. What are you gonna say?
No, we got Yohandy Morales at the plate right now. Local product out of Braddock High School. You know, this guy's just really been the anchor for the Hurricanes lineup. I mean, good kid. Got to know him behind the scenes, and you know, he's got a bright future. And oh, and here he goes, line drive out the middle, base hit, run scores. You know, I've seen Yohandy do this all year long. Nah, it's gonna be better than that. It's gonna be better. I'm a field guy.
I like that because like I feel like I know him now because he puts in those little.
No, he puts in those things.
So now I know him too. Oh, he's been doing this. Like, I'll say that when I go to have lunch. I'm like, yeah, I know because you know. This guy does it all year. I didn't even know that, but now I know that because he dropped the word.
And one thing I am looking forward to is like once we do know who's gonna be at regionals and all that stuff, like getting to research the teams. You know, getting to like I'm going deep, man. I'm gonna look at their socials. I'm gonna
really. You're gonna
scouting report. See? It's a scouting report.
That's what people listen. That's what I'm not gonna mention who, But that's what he does. He has his assistant give a whole letter of, okay, this guy graduated this year, this guy went to this high school, this college, whatever. Which will be cool if this guy goes, hey, underscore 43 at Caballo, just hit a...
I'm going to hook these kids up, man. I'm going to hook them up. No, and that's the thing that I'm looking forward to, like I said, like just doing my research. It's a new challenge for me, you know, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people already, like, oh, but, you know, make sure this, make sure that. I'm like, I appreciate it. We're gonna get this done.
Dude, last question. I think I get a vibe here of Domino's, right? And I almost get offended because people forget that Domino's is played with double nines, not double sixes, bro.
Double six is too easy.
We don't do that, right? And I always say that us being Cuban, right? And you got lucky. And I don't think Josh has done this yet because he's grown up in Miami, even though he's traveled a lot. But I've lived outside of Miami, and there's nothing like being Cuban away from Miami. Like, we really, really pop, man. You play dominoes at all?
Yeah, for sure.
You too?
Of course.
What was the last time you played?
I'd say about a month ago.
Really?
Yeah. Anytime there's someone like, oh, we're doing lechon, or come over here, you know dominoes, it's going down. So, for sure, family parties.
And I'm trying to think. It's been, like... 2 or 3 weeks ago, because I was at a
get together
at my best friend's surprise party for his dad, and we ended up playing some dominoes, and we went on a nice little run.
When you play, you a team player or you just take it over? You're like, okay, well, I got this. How does that work?
I'm a team player. I'm gonna ride your wave.
So
I'm here to ride your wave.
So Josh Sale, you're gonna go with a doble ocho all day long.
All day. I don't wanna get.
We're not fighting. We're chilling.
Hota.
I'm going with you the whole time. I'm not trying to lead. Hey, we're, you know, it's salida. No, you go. No. You got this, dude.
You got, even if you're like packed, you're like,
you got this.
What up?
But it's competitive. Like, I don't want to lose. I don't want to get up. I want to stay. So, like, teams is where it's at.
Listen, there's nothing like playing dominoes in Miami outside when it's not that hot, that you have that breeze hitting you, that $1 million breeze that people love. And you're drinking drink of your choice. Mine is a Pepsi.
Lo siento.
Chilling. You know what I'm saying? What are you drinking?
Tequila? All day.
So we're here.
Hopefully, lo siento soon.
There we go. Got you.
With some music playing, some Josh Premium meats there that you could get on so you're not there. You know, like
kind of. Picadera.
There at the thing, bro. And just playing to me, bro. I have that vibe in my head every day. I just love that, man. Listen, both you guys, I'm completely so happy and so proud of you guys, man. And I'm so proud that we were able to share this moment in my journey with this show and to bring a new audience to you guys, because I'm 100% confident that this is only the beginning for both of you guys. Like, when you guys reach your 40s, it's going to be crazy. Whether you figure out, dude, I like this commentary thing, I'm going to take this to the next level. Or if you're like Josh, you're like, you know what? Enough with the restaurants. Now I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to start doing my own cooking show, and we've talked about stuff like that. So I just can't be super prouder of you guys, man. Tell them your tags, Josh. Where can people find you? Where can they get the food?
So they can find us at Josh Premium Meats on Instagram, as well as joshpremiummeats.com. We have a store in South Miami. We're hoping to open a store by the end of the year. Not hoping. We are going to open a store in Aventura. And we want to continue this brand. So that's where you can find us. We do home delivery as well as in-store pickup.
What is, really quick, what do people should know about Josh Premium Meats that they don't know? Give us like a little 30-second thing of why you're the best.
Well, I think it's important to start off with family run. So when you come to our store, you'll meet myself, my mom, my cousins, and that's important. You're supporting a family, a small business, which is not something you see so often anymore. But we are known for our exotic meats that we import from Australia and Japan. So to me, it's the best meats I have found in my entire life. So I always strived to have the best, and now we were able to provide that to families. And if you work hard enough, you know, this is something that you could treat yourself always to, and that we always want to make it available to you and your family.
Jay, you, where can people find you? Talk to us.
Yeah, John J-U, J-O-N-J-A-Y-U, on Instagram, Twitter as well. And then I'm on LinkedIn too.
There we go. The entrepreneur. Well, we're excited to hear you. ESPN regionals. If UM doesn't make the super regionals, what a waste this year was, bro, in baseball. Because they just have to. So I'm super proud of both you guys, man. Thank you for coming on. And remember, at the end of the day, you got to keep going hard and do your thing. See you in the next one.
If you've made it this far, first of all, thank you so much. Like the video. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. Comment, because Coach HP is going to get to the comments. He's going to take care of you. Okay? DM him. He answers all his DMs. The guy is on it. But again, if you made it this far, thank you so much. We love you. We are out.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.